Chapter 31. Virginia. Day of Red Doves. The day is crisp and clear, and bountiful with the scents of lunar spring. The sky is the colour of young fire. The trees along the promenade that leads from the Palatine Hill through the central Citadel Park to the Forum blaze with colour and life and pungent floral notes. Soldiers stop to salute as my motorcade rolls past. Administrators rush along park paths toward the Forum to make it there in time to watch the vote from the steps. Gaggles of children from the Citadel schools trot along in small packs. Amongst them, Lyria's little nephew, Liam, his eyes gazing wide up at the trees and the monkey cats swinging from the branches with fresh sight. Though Victor took the girl, and likely has already disposed of her, Lyria's bravery should be rewarded. I made sure Mickey himself gave the boy his sight months ago. Lion Guard greet me as I arrive at the western entrance to the Forum with Daxo and Holiday. The whole cadre of loyal Optimate senators, golds, greys, whites, and half the silvers wait with 24 Martian senators as Daxo and I disembark. Publius, the incorruptible, stands beside this group, surrounded by dozens of Terran and even a few Lunese senators that I sacrifice my silver alliance to gain. With Holiday standing watch, I shake the traitor's hand. "A fine day for a fine moment," Publius says. "Couldn't agree more." I take Holiday by the shoulder and step away. After Dancer gives me the Vox votes, the crowd may get unruly. "We have support legions ready to go on the field of Ares, ma'am." "Good," I sigh. "This is it, then." "Ma'am," I turn back to her. "It must be said, it is an honour to serve a true sovereign." I don't think I can adequately explain how much that means from someone like her. I nod and step away from the protection of the Lion Guard to that of the blue-cloaked warden, guardians of the Senate and Republic. I begin my ascent up the Forum's western stairs, Daxo at my right, and the phalanx of Optimates and new allies behind in their flowing togas. At the crest, we enter the grand 50-metre-high doors through the stone columns onto the varnished floor. From the southern stairs, Vox Populi make their own entrance. Dancer, limping along at the head of 60 strong senators of red, orange, brown, the core of the Vox, and their less zealous allies, blue, green, and violet. They carry a standard made of raw wood and ugly iron, an upside-down pyramid unadorned with flourishes. Under the watch of the neutral wardens, the two opposing factions descend to their seats as the oceanic sounds of the crowd in the East Park lap into the Forum. The Obsidian already seated, making it clear they stand apart. If only all knew how far gone they already were. I do not yet take my morning chair down in the centre of the Senate pit. I walk around the rim of the pit to the east door, where several stout grey wardens stand guard. I look down the eastern stairs, past the line of wardens and antimatter pulse shields that stretch between metal pylons at the base of the stairs to the park below. A sea of humanity fills it, their disparate faces distorted by the shields so that they look like the confetti brushstrokes of a Frankish impressionist. Roars of approval and condemnation lap against me. I smile. Soon they will witness the vindication of our way of governance. Senators of the Republic, you are convened today in common assembly to vote upon a matter of dire urgency, I say from the discomfort of my chair. The senators surround me, looking down from their seats on the tiered marble steps. Much has been made of the divide between our peoples. Today, I hope to see that divide closed. A resolution has been put before you by Senator Telemannus. Senator, Daxo stands to his imperious height. The Optimates shout acclamation. He looks around with vibrant eyes and that clever mocking smile. Being that the greater strength of our veteran legions are trapped behind enemy lines due, in no small part to our own befuddled hands, I reintroduce that very same resolution which was voted down one long month ago. The optimates stamp their approval. Prior arguments against this resolution disparage the strength of those free legions. The optimates guffaw. The Vox rumble in discontent, and contended that they would capitulate to the strength of the enemy before rescue could avail them, that they would fold. Laughter from the optimates. That the Reaper of Mars was but a shadow of his former self. No, no, roar the optimates. While the Reaper has much to answer for, the Vox murmur agreement. He has been embraced by the troops as the commander in the field, and it would be folly to discredit their wisdom on this day. The free legions live. With their victory, we can see that such pessimism, such defeatism, such, he wants to say, cowardice, but a look to me reminds him to stay his tongue and preach conciliation. Caution was unfounded. And while it is a courageous notion to hold fast our lines, to protect our spheres with all our might, I cannot see a world in which we, my good men, my good ladies, can rest our weary heads and look ourselves in the mirror, knowing we condemned our brave fellows to death. Therefore, I reintroduce my resolution to grant the sovereign wartime imperium over the defence fleets, so she may, in her wisdom, prosecute this war to its rightful and expedient conclusion. As Daxo sits, the optimates stand with a roar, and outside, the smaller part of the crowd echoes their agreement as they watch the great projection of the Senate that streams above the forum. But the greater part, the low colours with their more numerous constituencies, wait for the man who has bound them together and given them a voice as loud as any gold in the society. Dancer politely waits for the other blocks to speak. The Silvers sit in silence. I have half their votes, if not their love. Votes from those who fear my wrath outweighs their fear of Quicksilvers. The Coppers also sit in silence. I look to Publius and tilt my head. It is his turn to stand. Yet he demurs, passing his time to the next block. I try to catch his eye. Something has changed. This should be where the trap springs and he denounces me. Has he made a deal with Zahn? Does he know I have Dancer? My internal comm beeps a priority message from Theodora. Keeping my face blank, I allow it through. My sovereign, Severo has a priority one message from Earth. I instruct her to put it through to Daxo as well. Dancer eases to his feet. The rugged man in brilliant white looks at me with a soft smile of reassurance as I wait for Severo's message. It is good today that the weather is fine and bright, that so many of our concerned citizens parted with the rigours of their own lives, and many rigours there are, to attend this assembly lifts my heart. He tries hard to match Daxo's eloquence, but is more at home with simpler diction. How far we have come in 10 short years from the darkness of society. How many of you could envision this day, not as some dream, but as reality? Few. Very few, I wager. Even Fichtner Barker, the father of this revolution, had doubts, as did I. He smiles, perhaps remembering the pain of those long years with the sons. My fellows, you are to be congratulated for your part, small as it may seem, in making this grand experiment possible. He hiccups softly before continuing. Our union is based not on our shared past, but on our hopeful future. He frowns in irritation as a brown senator behind him hiccups loudly into her sleeve. Yet, even now, agents of the enemy seek to divide that. Mustang! There's fear in Severo's voice. He's out of breath. I hear boot steps on metal grating. Mustang! Bone riders in old Tokyo. Trap. There's an explosion and the feed cuts to static. Bone riders. I hear blood in my ears. I look over to Daxo. Billions are watching on live stream. I can't leave. We need this vote now. Theodora will have to take point. She'll dispatch units to aid Severo. Bone Riders? How could it be possible? They should still be imprisoned in Deepgrave. Has the prison been penetrated yet again? Are they working with the Syndicate? It makes no sense. It has to be a trick. Severo must be mistaken. If Severo is not mistaken, this is exactly the sort of public venue where the Bone Riders would like to make a splash. I look up and search the ceiling, as if I'll find a bomb hidden there. The forum was checked a dozen times by Holiday and the Warden. It has to be clean. If old Tokyo was a trap, then how did the Syndicate know I was coming? A mole? Do they count on me cracking the Duke? I whisper for the Pegasus Legion units I have on standby, north of Hyperion, to come to the Citadel to join my Lion Guard on the field of Ares. Outside the forum, Holiday goes on high alert. Another hiccup escapes Dancer's lips, and he reaches up with a hand to scratch his throat. Our gold enemy profits when we are divided. He clears his throat roughly. So today, I seek an end to that. A great mucus-filled hiccup escapes his lips and his hands wrench into a cramped, infantile movement to pour at his chest. The red senators beside him rustle in concern. But then another hiccups in their ranks. And another. Using the shoulders of the senators beneath him, Dancer pulls himself upright, his eyes confused and unfocused. Today, I seek to... Then comes the horror. A clump of blood and lung tissue vomits out of Dancer's mouth. It bathes the togas of the senators beneath him in red pulp. Hands windmilling, he topples over onto their heads. They collapse under the weight, and with shouts set him on the ground. Panic swirls around Dancer as he contorts violently on the stone, blood dribbling from his bodily orifices. His eyes bulge from his head, and his hands paw the ground. Publius rushes to cradle his head. Gas! I shout, holding my breath. But the pathogen detectors do not wail. The room does not seal and vent, and my personal defense ring around my wrist continues to blink silver, detecting no abnormalities. I summon the Lion Guards, waiting underneath the forum, but none reply on my internal comm. None come through the interior doors. I connect to Holiday. Evacuation protocol. The Wardens are likely compromised. Fire if they move to engage. Already moving to the west door. Support. Lion Guards unresponsive. Daxo rushes me along with the gold and grey senators, and they form a wall around my person. Through their shoulders I watch Dancer and his lieutenants die, helpless to stop it. The Vox Populi shout in anger, in fear, calling for Medici as the yellow senators push through their ranks to come down the stairs. But then one stumbles and grips his chest before heaving his own blood onto the floor. Amidst Vox Populi, the clutch of Dancer's most stalwart, moderate lieutenants reel, beset by the same violent malady. Blood pours from their convulsing bodies as their limbs flail in atavistic dance, and those around them are torn between helping and running for fear that the pathogen is carried in their blood. Wardens, help them! Someone shouts. But the wardens above, around the rim of the Senate pit, do not rush to give aid. In their green cloaks they watch without pity or connection and then file out the doors. On the floor, Dancer's spasms have subsided. His blood smears Publius's face and hands. He pulls back from the copper to look up at me with eyes wild and white as a dying horse's. His mouth opens, a bloody, twisted maw. He mouths something to me, but his voice has been robbed from him and no sound comes out. He's dead, Publius whispers. O'Farron is dead. The hope in me dies with him. Then Publius Sue Caraval stands in the chaos. I know, as his lips curl back from his white teeth, as his eyes glimmer bright with long-hidden fervour, and his bloody finger extends in my direction, that he knew Dancer and I had come to terms. How? Murderer, the incorruptible wails. Tyrant! Tyrant! The surviving vox echo, pointing their fingers like blood-drenched scarecrows amidst the field of their dying compatriots. Tyrant! We flee in force. Optimates cluster around me and we ascend the stairs away from the charnel house. My internal comms swarms with dread. Citadel and Skyhaul are under attack. Republic forces. 7th Legion shuttles taking fire. Warden forces firing on Lion Guard outside Moon. Echo of Ares reports their captain has been shot. Arch-Imperator Zahn moving on Augustan ships. Lake Silene has inbound Republic assault craft. Ships are going for Darrow's mother. Vox legions assaulting ones loyal to me. It is a coup. With Daxo pushing me along in the centre of a knot of optimates, I rush up the last of the stairs to the west door. We make the flats around the Senate pit and rush to the exit. At the head of a clutch of heavily armed Lion Guard, Holiday exchanges heavy fire outside the forum with warden elements. Taking casualties, they press up the stairs outside the forum as aerial soldiers in grav boots dogfight over the parks. But as they reach the top stair and make to meet us at the door, a 40-meter-tall Drakenjäger lands at the edge of the park. Its twin railguns train themselves on Holiday. She shouts to take cover. Too late. I watch in horror as metal slugs moving at 3 times the speed of sound make my Martian soldiers mist. The slugs shred the marble steps and skip up into the forum, raining splinters of rock down on us. I'm flattened by gold and grey senators who use their bodies to shield mine. Senator Tiberius T. Hahn screams as his arm is taken off at the elbow by a ricochet. The next one takes his torso off at the hips. From under their bodies, I see out the doors. The Drakenjäger is teetering sideways, a huge hole in its cockpit. From amidst the bodies of dead Lion Guard, Holiday turns her anti-tank rail rifle up the steps at the wardens blocking our escape. 5 wardens are cut in half. A 6th warden explodes in a shower of gristle and metal. His cape detaches and slaps wetly against the groaning marble door as it slides to trap us inside the forum. Daxo reaches the door along and hauls against it till the veins stand out in his neck and his fingers crack the stone. A shoulder pops from its socket. Run, you fools, he roars at us. I push the gold senators off me, but I'm too far from the door, and the mechanized hinges cannot be stopped even by a Telemannus. Go, I shout at him. Daxo, go! My heart breaks as Daxo looks at the narrowing sliver of salvation. His face is red from exertion. His lips pull back from his teeth. He could escape, abandon me, but instead, a calmness comes over him, and he releases his grip on the door. It seals with a loud thump, and he turns to me and shrugs. With my comm, I open a master channel to my entire security network. Black Cathedral, I say. Repeat, Black Cathedral. But the signal goes down. Daxo puts a hand on my shoulder. His eyes are fixed on something behind me. I turn in time to see a concussion detonate outside the east door. In the plaza beyond, the colourful crowd has disintegrated into a frenzied mob. The shield, Daxo whispers. Smoke billows. A shield pylon teeters sideways. Sparks shiver out from its sides, and with a blue shimmer, the barrier separating us from the mob disappears. Oh no. A tide of humanity rolls up the white steps toward the only open door. Senators scream and scramble to beat against the other doors for escape. The remnants of the Vox Populi, some 30 of their fringe zealots, huddle around Dancer's body down in the Senate pit. Publius is amongst them, his face wild with righteous rage as he shouts for the mob and points toward us as if he were some necromantic conjurer hurling his murderous spirits forward. Optimates! To me! I shout. Barely half of them hear me. The rest have broken up amongst the forum to beat on the doors, to hide behind columns, to raise their hands in supplication to the mob that teems toward the open east door. their faces sunburnt and pale, wide and narrow, eyes red and brown and orange, mad with communal rage, their arms carrying bent bits of fences, stakes from propaganda signs, hammers, and even black market scorchers they roil toward us. A dozen in front, 100 behind, and thousands pushing them forward. I watch a blue senator tear herself away from her hiding place amongst the columns and stand bravely at the east door and face down the mob with an outstretched hand. "No violence," she declares majestically. "No violence," she repeats just before a red man caves her head in with an iron Vox pyramid on the end of a wooden pole. The mob swallows them. They all disappear, and all I can see is the iron pyramid rising and falling above the swarm. A pink senator falls. Frail bones shatter as he curls inward like a dying spider. They pull optimate senators from their hiding places and smash their heads open against the marble. Senators flee from them, tripping and falling, skinning their knees and prying themselves up to scramble away, their togas white but for the hems that are stained in blood, so that they look like the fluttering wings of red doves in flight. The obsidian senators, all women, all former warriors, join our lines with a solemn nod. "Virginia, stand behind me," Daxo says in a low growl. I step to his side. With a small laugh, he peels the wool of his toga as if it were made of paper. Free of the encumbrance, he stands bare-chested, bare-limbed, a monster clothed only in undershorts before the mob. His shoulders are broad as a thunderhead, his back muscled like a sunblood stallion's. The angels on his head glorious and golden and dancing down his spine to his lower back. But his huge hands are bare and empty. "Daxo!" I hand him the Dawn Scepter. He spins it, a meter of solid iron with the 14-pointed star of our republic glittering on the end. "Gold and obsidian, first rank. Grey, second," I shout over the furore as the mob runs around the sides of the Senate pit to reach us. Those soldiers amongst the optimates, many old and stooped, but sinewy and dogged in the ways of war, rustle forward to stand 15 abreast in velvet slippers and white togas to defend the cluster of thin-boned senators behind us. I pull on the metal tab underneath the left pocket of my jacket. My secondary razor slithers out of the spine of my jacket to form a meter and a third of rigid metal. I lean toward Daxo. "On my command, terror." The mob does not hit us in a wave. The wild vanguard was prepped. Pupils flaring with stims and intoxicants, they sprint headlong at us with homemade weapons, hammers and knives, a few with black market scorchers. A scorcher flares. White light ripples across the forum, and the obsidian senator to the left of me screams as her stomach ruptures open. She stumbles away, half her torso boiling. "Now," I tell Daxo, "lion heart, and death for 4 meters. He cleaves the red with the scorcher in half, with the edge of the Dawn Scepter's star. A man swings at him with a knife. Daxo is already past him, but reaches back to shatter his hand and take the knife. He wheels it down on the head of a brown in a hammer stroke, flattening the head, and then casually flicks the scepter back into and through the face of another man, before bringing it about in a wheeling stroke that shatters 3 more of the rioters. He kicks a brown woman in the chest. Her sternum collapses, and a bulge from his foot pushes out her back. The last, a young red man with piercings through the bridge of his nose, stabs at Daxo. Daxo catches the blade in his left hand. It sinks into the palm, but bends against the reinforced bone as Daxo pushes back till the man's straightened arm snaps like a twig. Daxo embeds the scepter in the man's chest and grabs the man's other hand. He pulls on both arms, lifting the man in the air so that he is eye to eye with Daxo, his feet kicking half a meter from the ground. With a roar, Daxo pulls off both the man's arms. The body drops to the floor, spitting blood. Daxo rips the scepter out of the man, pulling ribs with it, and beats his own bloody chest with gore-spattered hands. "Lion heart!" He spins the scepter, pointing it at the crowd. Dogs, traitors, in the name of your sovereign, disarm! Disarm! The mob behind the massacred men skids to a halt, terrified of the gold monstrosity. All their lives they've known of gold power, but war is fast and smoky and small through a screen. They always suspected the myth of our violence overwrought. Now they see what our manners have protected them from. The courage in their numbers withers at the terrible sight of this machine of war unlocked from his civil chains. But the mob is a machine as well, and its engine of courage comes from those at the rear. They push forward, screaming and shouting, and firing over the heads of those terrified in the front, and the press breaks forward, dozens amongst them falling to be trampled by the weight of the distant brave. The mob hits more like mud than water. Seeping around Daxo, fighting to run away, heels skidding over bloody stone. My razor carves through the outstretched arm of a young man holding a scorcher, through the face of a fat woman with a rock, the neck of a screaming, terrified teenager with a mouth blue from cloud candy. Bodies push me back, and I chop madly, blindly at arms. They seep through. I fall back to swing again, but I collide with someone behind me, and I'm pushed forward into the bodies of those I've maimed, who wail and hold bloody stumps and are trampled by those behind them. I wheel and hack and slash against flailing limbs. A hammer hits my collarbone. Bone holds. Man dies. A knife digs into my cheek and breaks a tooth in half. Spit sprays into my eyes. Blood. Teeth bite my leg and metal digs into my calf. Searing pain. I stomp on someone until I feel something give. Not 10 meters away, Daxo kills and maims in a tyrannical whirlwind, like the kind Darrow and only a few others still living have ever seen in person, much less produced. I try to cut my way to him, but I don't have the mass. Bodies obscure me, hands pull at me, shoulders of screaming men subvert my balance as they hit my knees. The back of a head breaks my nose. I headbutt someone else and feel the weaker bone crumple. Sharp metal scrapes down my back, ribs and stabs repeatedly into my flank. I howl, pinched between bodies. My legs are caught by someone's arms and I'm wrestled from the side by a big red man, his whiskers scraping into my neck. I teeter sideways, pulled down by a mass of bodies. A gun goes off against my thigh. I feel pressure. They pin my sword arm to my side and bite and saw at my hand till the razor slips free. I crash to the ground under their weight, arms and legs unable to move against their grip as boots stomp on my head and kick my face. Sound goes in and out, my vision stuttering between black and the swarm of feet and legs at the claustrophobic underbelly of the mob. I swallow a tooth and bite the finger off a man. Virginia! I hear beyond the curses and shouts. Virginia! The big red man atop me twitches. The iron points of a bloody star erupt through his forehead. His eyes roll back into his head, and blood sluices onto me as Daxo pulls the Dawn Scepter out of his crushed skull. Another man falls between us. Daxo seizes his belt and hurls him through the air like a doll. I glimpse my friend for a moment, his wild eyes set in that thoughtful face. And despite the horror around us, despite the anger in him, I see the panic of love. He will save me. He will protect me, like he did when he pulled me from the tossing surf as a girl. And then he is gone. Greatness borne down under a human wave that crashes down from all directions. A boot connects with my temple. My head lolls sideways. Something stabs through my cheek and takes 2 teeth. Numbly, I feel them tearing at my hair, my clothes, ripping off my boots, cutting my pants with knives and my razor, and the blade scraping my skin. 2 men rip off my jacket as a woman kicks at my face, and hands paw at my breasts and claw between my thighs. I black out in the darkness, feel hands lifting me up, punching me, jamming into my body. Then I am free of the mob. The press of bodies above me gone. I open swollen eyes and see through a crack in the darkness. Jeering faces swim beneath me, hands pass me above their heads like a trophy. Sharp objects stick into my buttocks, my thighs. "Daxo," I murmur through broken teeth, mouth full of blood and mashed lips. "Daxo." I see him again through the crowd. His huge body is splayed out on the ground, held down by a big obsidian with gold teeth, as four others stand over him, guarding a muscular red woman in a Hyperion sanitation uniform. Tall for a red, she hacks at Daxo's neck with a hatchet till his head dislodges. She holds it by its spine. Without looking, she flicks Daxo's head to the mob. He was a man who could have ruled worlds if he had even the smallest ambition for it, who chose to serve the people even though he despised them. He did that for me, and now his head is tossed around like an inflated toy ball. The golden angels dance no more on Daxo's crown. They are drowned in his blood. The woman turns to look at me. Even set in that face, I recognize her eyes through the red contacts. A demon from the past, now undead. Lilith, my brother's dog of war. She is alive. She is the queen of the syndicate. How? Lilith begins to laugh at me. With a disembodied moan, I tear my eyes away and look up for some escape to the sky. But it is hidden from me, behind the painted plaster, where my husband floats golden and glorious, with Severo at his side, giving his speech to the mob of Phobos, where he heard the heartbeat of humanity and exhorted it to violence, to war, to the taking of lives for liberty. All that fills my ears is the roar of the human ocean as it sings the song of my husband's first wife.